WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Brian Koberger, the defendant in the Idaho College murders, has accepted a plea deal that, according to a letter sent to victims' families, Koberger will plead guilty and be sentenced to four consecutive life sentences in the stabbing murders of four University of Idaho students in 2022. It spares him the death penalty, ABC legal contributor Brian Buckmeyer.
He's still going to die within prison. I mean, this sentence is four consecutive life sentences. No one lives that long, especially not in prison. So I would have thought, based on the offer that was given, he would have still have gone to trial because it's death one way or another.
He also waives all rights to appeal. A marathon session underway in the Senate to pass that massive budget bill for President Trump's agenda. Key provisions like cuts to Medicaid still being hotly debated. President Trump signing an executive order today for lift sanctions against Syria. That move allows for Syria to rebuild after the fall of the Assad regime. This is ABC News.
Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. Tens of thousands of Wisconsin residents could lose their health care coverage under the federal budget bill being considered in the Senate. The American Hospital Association estimated that under the proposed cuts, over 30,000 Wisconsinites would lose their health care coverage and rural hospitals would lose over $600 million of revenue over the next 10 years. The organization specifically noted two western Wisconsin hospitals that could be in danger of closing, Aspirus Stanley Hospital and Mayo Clinic Health System Oak Ridge in Osseo. State Democratic lawmakers introduced legislation aimed at protecting Wisconsin farmers from trade disruptions and bolstering food security on Thursday. The legislation was introduced by State Senator Brad Pfaff and State Representative Jenna Jacobson. According to a press release, the bill would establish a $30 million agricultural purchase program run by the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection. The program would seek to provide more demand for local food producers and reduce costs for families. A former Rice Lake woman accused of vehicular homicide in relation to a crash that killed 71-year-old Ira Luplow of Menominee has entered a not guilty plea to the charge. The crash occurred on August 14th on Highway 53. According to Barron County court documents, 56-year-old Patricia Cronquist is accused of trying to pass vehicles in a construction zone before crashing into an oncoming vehicle driven by Luplow. She was charged with felony homicide by negligent operation of a vehicle and entered the not guilty plea in a court appearance on Friday. The Washburn County Board has begun a review of its public comment and decorum policy for public meetings. The current rules were put into place in 2024, which required people to sign up before the meeting starts, placed a 3-minute limit on comments, and required speakers to conduct themselves in a manner that does not resort to shouting and personal attacks. A number of residents and board members have raised First Amendment concerns regarding the rules. The board ordered the executive committee to evaluate potential changes. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
A new deal for Bobby. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports basketball. The Milwaukee Bucks offering Bobby Portis Jr. a 3-year contract extension worth $44 million. Portis asked why he's grateful Doc Rivers is his head coach.
You know, sometimes you get put in a box and not get to display what you can really do. So I'm thankful for Doc just letting me just play ball and just letting the game come to me, and it's been easier to go out there and just play the game the way I know how to play.
Meanwhile, Kevin Porter Jr. has declined the Bucks' offer to stay in Milwaukee and is instead headed to free agency. Baseball. Brewers have the day off. They travel to New York, where they'll face the Mets tomorrow night. The Crew losing in extra innings yesterday to the struggling Colorado Rockies, 4-3. Not enough production at the plate, said Pat Murphy.
We had 3 hits through the 9th inning, I believe, and one was a bloop and one was an infield hit. We had 4 hits. And 2 homers that were timely and great. More and more, we couldn't finish the job.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A stray shower storm this evening, otherwise mostly clear and a low in the upper 50s tonight. Sunshine and warmer for tomorrow, high in the low 80s. Another slight storm chance Wednesday and Thursday. A little more humidity as well. Highs into the mid-80s. It's 69 degrees right now.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Tracy Ann Mangold, how would you describe what it is that Brian Schimming is caught in the crossfires of?
He's the first paid state chair that they've ever had. And so the belief was that maybe that'll increase his ability to fundraise for the state. Obviously, that has not worked out so well. I've been told that he thinks 4 phone calls a day to fundraise is a lot, which, you know, isn't.
104 might be a good start.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. We'll continue to monitor the budget process both in D.C. and Madison. And what's worse for the holidays, ketchup or mustard? Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who writes checks his mouth can't cash, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome to Nightlight. How is everybody doing? I hope you're having a great day. Wherever you're joining us from across the state, it is great to have you as we ring in. It's finally Monday. That's one of my favorite things to say. I like my weekends, but I like being on the air and talking about what we talk about here on Nightlight on a nightly basis. Great movies, TV, comedy, music, theater, really fun events in Wisconsin across the state. It's just a blast. What could be better? Conrad, how's it going?
It's going well. It is going good. I did nothing.
Okay. That's not too bad. It's okay to do nothing once in a while, right?
Yeah. I just kind of sat around and watched some colored television.
Oh, nice. It's the best kind.
And basically just, I was around the apartment just cleaning and.
Okay. Put on some tunes.
I did.
Scrub the place down. You got people coming to town, right? Or is that.
I'm leaving town.
You're leaving town. I'm going to get a tattoo.
Well, that's the following week.
Okay.
July 11th.
Wow, you got the whole summer planned out.
This week I'm going to Beaver Dam because my friends just moved there.
Okay.
So I'm going to see their place and kind of go around Beaver Dam with them.
It's a fine city.
You know, I haven't been there in so long, so it's going to be fun to go see them and
great
see their
place.
New place.
Great location. It's close to Madison. It's right off 151. My wife's Uncle Jimmy lives there, and it's just a swell little town. Love Beaver Dam. We've got a great show tonight, folks. You're here on a great night because we're going to be talking at 6:35. We're talking about film incentives that might take place here in Wisconsin. It's looking good. And we'll have two members of Action Wisconsin here at 6:35 to discuss where things are at with the legislation. It's made it past two hurdles with one more to go. And I believe the next one, it just gets enacted if the law is going to pass, but it has bipartisan support. And we will talk at 6:35 to Jeff Kurz and Nathan Deming. Nathan will be here in studio. Jeff will join us over the stream. Both very talented filmmakers themselves. Nathan has been on the show before, and as you may or may not remember, he is making a film for every month of the year in Wisconsin, shooting it in Wisconsin. He's done January, February. I assume he's hard at work on March. I just saw him out in the lobby and he was typing. So I'm just going to assume that's on the script yeah. for March, and he's writing a part for his old pal Petey. So Nathan will be here in studio. Jeff Kurz is a former Miramax executive and Milwaukee native. He'll join us on the stream. Both great guys and very talented movie makers. And then at 7:35, my old pal Kurt Newman from the Bodines will be here. Kurt is the founder and frontman of the Bodines. And we have worked together. It's been many years, but Kurt wrote a score for my film, The Godfather of Green Bay. And just if you haven't seen the film, folks, and I've been talking about The Godfather of Green Bay, Conrad, tell me if we talk about it too much, because a lot of my friends had something to do with the film. So it comes up here periodically, but I don't want to overdo it. Does that make sense?
Well, it's like your baby, you know, it's your first film. You
it's
know?
One of them.
And so I feel like you don't talk about it enough.
It's my dysfunctional child. But Kurt, rent the film, folks, or see it free on Tubi just to watch Kurt's or listen to Kurt's work, I should say. He wrote just a great score. And at the time, he had told me he had never written a film score before. So I was blown away by what he did. And he gave us several Bodine songs to use. So the film is peppered with Bodine's music, too. It's great. And it'll be great to talk to Kurt at 7:35. They got some great summer shows coming up here throughout Wisconsin, including one in a couple days at the Atwood Music Hall. The brand spanking new Atwood Music Hall, which, as I understand it, is absolutely state-of-the-art and gorgeous. So we'll talk to Kurt at 7:35. It's good to see Todd Alba.
Yeah.
Todd should just move to Green Bay, I think. He's been here a lot lately.
Yeah, yeah. He says it was his grandma's birthday, I believe.
I think his mom's.
Mom's birthday. Okay, so.
So he came up here to serve cake, literally.
Well, maybe just move into the basement there.
Well, or move in here. We got two showers that never get used. I rarely need to towel off after a show.
There's no curtain, so like it's kind of weird. Have you ever showered without a curtain?
You know, I probably have at some point in my life.
It feels weird.
It does.
Like,
and you have to just kind of stand in the corner and prevent any residual water damage.
Like the first week I was at my new place, I didn't get a new curtain yet. And, it was just, it felt weird.
It's strange. It's like having no clothes on something. You kind of feel naked.
I pointed the head like towards the wall, like, you know, in the shower.
Yeah.
So I was like, I don't want any of the water getting out.
Exactly. And it's funny. I remember when the night we moved to LA from our apartment in Chicago, my wife said, you know, I just want to take a shower. I said, well, go ahead. But we had no shower curtain.
Yeah.
And we had no hot water.
Oh,
so she had to take a cold shower with no shower curtain. But I made sure to stand there and watch her just to make sure everything was okay. I think I can say,
how noble of you.
I think I can say that about my own wife. All right. I don't know how we got off on that, but we have a great question tonight, folks, too. And let's get to that, Conrad, so people can start playing the game if they want. It is time for the Nightlight question of the night.
Let's talk about the question.
Okay, question.
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 Pregunta.
Question.
Question.
Okay, I have a question.
Questions.
This question.
Domanda.
Question.
Question.
Questions.
Oh, this is going to be fun, folks. Who is your favorite athlete to wear a Wisconsin college or pro uniform? We are opening this up. Who is your favorite athlete to wear a Wisconsin college or pro uniform? You can pick an athlete who went to UW, St. Norbert, Whitewater, Bucks, Brewers, minor league hockey, the Admirals, Packers, you know, just you have a blank canvas here. And I'm so excited to share mine.
Go ahead.
It's Hank Aaron.
Okay.
And people forget that because he didn't play his whole career here, but he might be the greatest. In my opinion, and there are people that know more about baseball than me, but I was obsessed with baseball when I was younger. And Hank Aaron, his numbers, it's hard not to, he's at least in the conversation of the top three players of all time, in my opinion. Maybe the best. But I would say Hank Aaron. And we spent, when I was a kid, my mom's family lived in Milwaukee and my dad's was from Chicago. So we would drive up when it was still County Stadium. We would tailgate because my Uncle Pat Murphy, no relation, my mom's a Murphy. I'm half Murphy. We would drive up and tailgate in the Milwaukee Brewers parking lot. And part of those times were when Hank Aaron was on the Brewers. And it was pretty cool. I had an autographed picture of him from my Aunt Rosie. And I have no idea what happened to it. I was like 12. Didn't care as much as I should have. And now I'm like, why don't you still have that? That would look really cool on the office wall. So I would have to say Hank Aaron. Possibly not a runner-up. But top five, Frank Kaminsky, maybe?
That's mine.
That's your first. Nice.
Frank Kaminsky brought me back to how good a Wisconsin program can actually be.
Yeah.
Because it, you know, many years before, it's like we had one good team, took along to get another good team.
True.
Frank was great in college.
And he was phenomenal.
Brought my love back for college basketball, I'd say. Ever since ever since that year, it's been nonstop me watching college basketball all the time. So I'd say him is my number one.
That there's nothing wrong. That's a great number one. And frankly, like that was a great team. And Nigel Hayes was great. And Sam Decker.
Yeah.
And but Frank Kaminsky, they don't get that far without Frank.
Oh, no.
And I would say if I had a third runner up, all the great Wisconsin running backs.
There's too many.
So many.
There's too many.
So cumulatively, I'm going to put them all in my number three. So it's there you go.
My favorite out of all of them is Jonathan Taylor. But
yeah, he's probably the best too, right?
In the league, I would say, yeah.
Had the best pro career. Ron Dayne had a pretty good pro career, but not.
Yeah. He kind of went, Monte Ball kind of had he was good in college, and then he did something that he shouldn't have done in the pros, but.
What did he do?
He got a DUI.
Oh, he got a DUI. Right, well, you know. That's terrible.
Yeah, and it's
you're putting other people at risk. I get it, but it's there are worse crimes, you know, and hopefully he didn't endanger anybody, but whatever. It's a crime, of course. My other one is Melvin Gordon.
Melvin Gordon's great. I wish he'd never left the Chargers. I think that kind of put a little hitch in his career because he wanted more money and they weren't offering. So he's like, well, see ya.
He was so great. I remember watching that game, and I had an opportunity to go to that game when he ran for the 500-plus yards, and I, for whatever reason, I didn't. But it was fun sitting at home watching it, too, because the snow was falling.
Yeah.
He ran for over 500 yards, and then a week later, the record was broken.
I mean, know.
All the things that could happen.
Yeah. He had it for a week, though.
He had to be sitting home going, wait a minute, what? Poor guy.
Well, all right, so Frank Kaminsky's my one.
Yeah, all right.
Two. Prince Fielder.
Oh, yeah.
He's my favorite baseball player.
Okay. Of all time?
Of all time, yeah.
Favorite. Oh, nice.
Because I looked up to him so much as a kid playing baseball, you know?
Okay.
And then number three. Oh, this is tough.
Giannis?
I really like Christian Yelich.
But over Giannis?
Okay, so.
Or Bart Starr?
If this is our favorites.
Yeah.
I would probably say John Kuhn.
Oh wow! Okay,
because I was also a fullback, and I looked up to him too, and I just think he had a really cool chant when he got the ball out every time.
Kuhn,
but like in unison, you know?
Yeah,
it was so cool.
But when he heard boos, they were saying Kuhn.
Yeah.
What happened when you heard boos? Were they saying Krieger?
They.
I hope you didn't hear boos. I don't think you heard boos. All right, those are great.
He stinks.
Those are great. So mine, Hank Aaron, Frank Kaminsky, and then an assortment of Wisconsin running backs. Conrad says Frank Kaminsky, Prince Fielder, and John Kuhn. All right, that's a great starting point. Let us know what who your favorites are, folks, to ever wear a Wisconsin pro or college uniform. Those are the parameters. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. We will read your text on the radio. Hope you play along. It's always more fun when you guys get involved in the show. I saw Formula One. You know what? I'm going to save that for after the break. I have a pet peeve. I have a new pet peeve.
Oh no!
I didn't know I had this many pet peeves until I was on the radio. But it was my anniversary this past weekend. My wife and I went out to dinner. I go to the restroom. No towels. They only have the blow dryer for the mm-hmm. hands. And then one of those doors, you can't just like use an elbow. You have to lock it and use the handle. And there's no way around that unless you want to go grab disgusting toilet paper. And I'm in a restaurant. What do you do? You got to remedy that. If you own a restaurant, you have to give people the opportunity not to touch the door handle after they wash their hands.
You know what? The best thing I've seen with those types of bathrooms is people who have a foot, like you put your foot on the door and then move it, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the best.
I think you should go back in there and tell them what to add.
Well, you know what? I went to another place. I went to a place, an Italian place I love. And I can't believe I did this, but I suggested they had Bar Rescue on. Like they have served good food.
Bar Rescue sucks, by the way.
And I got to listen to this big mouth on the TV. It's like, it's so annoying. And I said, have you guys ever thought about playing some Italian music or some light jazz? And the kid said, yeah. He goes, you're the second person to say that today. And I go, it's because of that. It's that TV. You know, if there's like a big sports game, a game on or something, I get it. But come on, put some jazz on. And then the owner comes over. And the kid says, hey, he thinks we should play music. I'm like, don't do that. I don't want to be that guy. All right, we're coming back, folks. I'm going to tell you about F1, the movie, and we'll read your texts. And we're just going to talk about stuff. We got a lot to talk to, a lot to talk about. I can't talk. I didn't talk at all today. I'm warming up for the first hour. All right, it's Pete Schwab and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. Coming right back.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Offer not valid in all states or where prohibited by law. Loans are subject to lender approval. See website for details.
Honey, the credit card bill came, and we're maxed out.
Maxed out cards, rent is due. We just need some extra cash to help us get by.
Maybe we should go to 27cash.com.
With our bad credit?
27cash.com is one of the largest personal loan networks. They can help people with any type of credit get up to $5,000, and cash can hit our bank account as soon as tomorrow.
When you need extra cash, go to 27cash.com. That's 27cash.com. 27cash.com.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Ever since I started the recombobulation area, I've written an in-depth breakdown of every new edition of the Marquette University Law School poll. The newest poll asks about a range of topics, whether Tony Evers should run for a third term, where people stand on Donald Trump's economic policies, and a host of issues relating to the state budget. The poll paints a picture of a polarized Wisconsin. Many people are very dug into their partisan camps, which is perhaps to be expected in the most evenly divided state in the nation. But there are a number of issues polled that do have the support of more than two-thirds of Wisconsin voters. Those include extending Medicaid coverage for new moms, legalizing marijuana, making major increases in state aid for special education, providing mental health services in schools, allowing citizen-led ballot initiatives, and banning cell phones in schools. What do most of these issues have in common? They are policies being advanced by Democrats in Wisconsin.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Indy Duttagupta, he is with the Center for Law and Social Policy.
The Trump administration's agenda is reducing economic growth. The programs that they're proposing cutting, like Medicaid and SNAP, especially for kids, actually more than pay for themselves. So we are really looking at a tough long-term economic outlook entirely created by the current policymakers.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m.
I was stuck in a state of panic and endless rituals, so I made the call.
Mental health care works when you make the call. Visit mentalhealthcareworks.org, a message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
As Wisconsin is brats on the grill for a tailgate, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Balls under boob and butt.
Odor protection for under $10.
That sounds like big, big savings. However, this is Peach Waba and Nightlight. Great to have you with me on this Monday night. That was a commercial Conrad found. And what are they saying? Balls
under boob and butt.
Balls under boob and butt. And they're saying that's where you should put deodorant on.
They're all day spray.
I agree heartily with two of those. What I don't understand, the deodorant thing has gotten out of hand. Now they have deodorant for every body part. At some point, we just have to admit we stink. And maybe get the basics. Go with one or two body parts. Obviously, the underarms. But maybe not. Like, if you're not going to be running around all day. I don't know. It's just getting out of control. It's like, it's okay to smell a little bit at the end of the day. You don't need that kind of protection.
Well, you know, at the end of the day, I shower so I don't smell.
That's the time you should do it, is because when you shower at night, your body is clean and toxin-free for like 8 to 10 hours, however long you sleep. You shower in the morning, you start sweating immediately.
Yeah, and you're not making your bed dirty either.
Correct.
Which is good.
That is good, except here's what my wife does. Like, I go to bed last night, I got the air on. She gets up at 7, 6:30, whatever, turns it off. And by 8 o'clock, I wake up sweating. I'm like, how did this happen? What is going on here? It's just rude. Antisocial behavior.
I have a massive fan just pointed at my face. So
that's not the least bit annoying. Head, shoulders. No. It's balls under boob and butt.
Yep.
I think you could say all those.
Also
words.
Thighs.
Okay.
And feet.
Thighs and feet. Feet is the big one. I would say outside of armpits, it's got to be feet. Unless you're going to be intimate with someone, then I get why you'd want to
see,
you know, this go below the equator.
This is a good thing that it's a spray.
Yeah.
Because I don't feel like you should use a stick for all of those parts.
Right. You could get carried away too. The spray, it's like hands off. If you start touching yourself with one of those sticks, you don't know what's going
to
happen.
Yeah. I mean, would you want to use, you know, what you use for your pits?
Right.
On your feet?
No, I mean, the stuff, if you use deodorant on your feet, isn't that a different thing? Like, it's not the same stuff you're putting on your armpit. And if you spray, is that, like, bad for the environment? I don't know. Is it like Reichard when people used to, because they kind of frowned on using those.
So I told you I found this commercial today, and I said it was the worst thing I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Do you agree?
Worst thing I've ever seen? It's not worse than the Russell Wilson commercial.
Okay, I forgot about that one. That one's pretty bad.
At least they're providing a service here. You know, they're trying to help you. But I don't know that we need that much deodorant.
I was just trying to watch something on YouTube, and that ad came on, and I replayed it like four times.
Are you sure someone didn't send that to you?
It was just an ad that popped up. I was like, what?
Right, fair enough. This is... So, all right. So I saw F1 over the weekend. Now it's down. It was in the 90th percentile on Rotten Tomatoes. Now it's like low 80s. I see people on social media loving this movie. I don't know if they're planted there by the studio or not. It's not a great movie. It's entertaining because the racing stuff is really cool. I'll tell you the best thing about the movie to me is when the Formula One cars would pull over and the pit crew, how fast they work blows my mind. And honestly, that was the best part of the movie for me. The racing scenes are cool. The music is good, but the movie is 2 hours and 36 minutes. And I bet there's a 20-page script. Characters are just like, who cares? I get it. Brad Pitt's older. It's like Tin Cup meets Bull Durham meets Days of Thunder. We've seen this story a gazillion times. And Brad Pitt was doing like this weird thing where he's like, I got to get out there on that track. Like kind of this raspy, it just did not seem realistic to me. The movie is wall-to-wall music. And the scenes are great. The racing scenes are cool. The music's good. But I don't need 2.5 hours of music. And it could have been 1.5 hours long. And having said that, I didn't dislike it. I was entertained, but it was a video. It was not a movie. And like Nathan Demming, who will be here shortly, said he felt that way about Oppenheimer. It was like watching a 2-hour trailer. And that's kind of what this was like. It's like, give me some story.
So would you recommend waiting for it to
go on streaming? I would wait. I mean, unless you want, if you go with a group and you want a popcorn movie, maybe. It's not like it's bad. It just did not grab me in any way. I like Brad Pitt. We just did that Brad Pitt question Friday. Is he a good actor or not? He's not good in this. He's okay. He's just not that good. And it's too bad because I felt like they could have really done something. It'd be interesting to get Emerson Lehman's opinion on the movie.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know?
I wonder if he's seen it yet. We'll have to reach out. Send him a text.
Our question of the night, folks, is who is your favorite athlete who has ever worn a college or pro uniform in Wisconsin? Could be the Badgers. I said St. Norbert's. Carroll College. I don't care. They've worn a college or pro uniform in Wisconsin. Who's your favorite athlete? Obviously, Packers, Brewers, Bucks, Milwaukee Admirals, Green Bay Blizzard even. Any one of these people are qualified. I said Hank Aaron is my favorite. Conrad said Prince Fielder, correct?
Frank Kaminsky, Prince Fielder.
I'm sorry. And Frank Kaminsky is on my list as well. So going to the stream, Dave says, Irv Kunisch, 1960 Rose Bowl. Dave has been listening faithfully for a year. Thank you for that, Dave. Roughly. And I know who his dad is because he coached football at the Marinette Public High School. I did not know he played in the 1960 Rose Bowl. That is pretty cool. And a nice little homage to your dad. Thank you, Dave. And then he says, Ricky Blyer. I assume he means Rocky Blyer. We all do it, Dave. There he goes. He corrected himself. Conrad's mom says Reggie White and Donald Driver.
Two great Packers.
Yeah. Not going to get much argument there. All right. When we come back, we're going to talk film incentives here in Wisconsin. Will they happen or won't they? We'll hear from the experts, two guys actively involved in trying to bring incentives to Wisconsin, Nathan Deming and Jeff Kurz. That's all coming up next after the news. And maybe we'll even read some more texts. We'll see what happens. It's one of those kind of nights. It's Peach Wabba Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to WBZH, Hayward's home for the Todd Allbald Show.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is warning residents of increased enforcement on the water during July 4th weekend. The agency says they will join law enforcement authorities for the annual Operation Dry Water campaign, which seeks to prevent boaters from operating while impaired across the country. Alcohol consumption is the leading contributing factor in recreational boating fatalities nationwide. The Operation Dry Water campaign encourages everyone out on the water to remain sober for their own safety and the safety of other boaters. New data released by the Wisconsin Department of Workforce Development found that most areas across the state saw an increase in unemployment rates in May. According to a press release, 11 of the state's 13 metropolitan areas saw increasing unemployment rates. Eau Claire and Racine were the only two metropolitan areas to see a decrease in May, but have seen an overall increase over the course of the year. Over the last 12 months, 70 Wisconsin counties have seen an increase in unemployment rates, with just two counties seeing a drop. Law enforcement authorities say a suspect has been taken into custody in relation to a fatal stabbing near Lincoln Park in Duluth over the weekend. According to the Duluth Police Department, the stabbing occurred at around 7:30 on Saturday night. First responders attempted life-saving measures when they arrived on the scene but were unsuccessful. The suspect fled the scene in a vehicle, prompting a search by multiple law enforcement agencies. He was located on I-35 in Pine County. The identities of the suspect and the victim have not yet been released. The Hunt Hill Nature Center is inviting residents to participate in a bat roost count next week. The Citizen Science Program event will take place on July 11th from 8 p.m. to 9:30 p.m. Attendees will help count the number of baby bats emerging in the second roost count to help track population trends and learn more about the types of bats that live in the area. No prior experience is needed and there will be no fee to participate. Organizers of the bat roost count are encouraging interested residents to register ahead of the event as they only have space for 20 participants. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. How do actors cope with being part of a really dark horror film? Violet McGraw and Allison Williams, stars of Megan 2.0, made themselves happy when the cameras weren't rolling by singing Taylor Swift songs. The 37-year-old Williams and 14-year-old McGraw are both Swifties. McGraw, who plays Williams' niece in the film, says the two bonded due to the dark material, and the way they ended up coping with it was by pretending to be Taylor. Megan 2.0 is rating fresh on Rotten Tomatoes and is currently in theaters. If mystery and horror isn't your thing, how about mystery and comedy? Peacock's remake of the 1989 Tom Hanks film The Burbs is gaining steam. The reboot is not a movie, but rather a series, and the cast is headlined by Kiki Palmer, whose credits include Nope and the recent surprise hit One of Them Days. Palmer is also executive producing. If you're feeling nostalgic for the movie, you might dig the show, as it is filmed on the same street on the Universal backlot as the movie. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Rebuilding and refreshing local radio one station at a time. This Civic Media radio station is proud to be a part of your community. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A stray shower storm this evening, otherwise mostly clear and a low in the upper 50s tonight. Sunshine and warmer for tomorrow, high in the low 80s. Another slight storm chance Wednesday and Thursday. A little more humidity as well, highs into the mid 80s. It's 71 right now.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
When Republicans try to be cute, they always end up looking like Wile E. Coyote in the old cartoons. Governor Evers is the Roadrunner, and his veto pen is the Acme anvil that keeps getting dropped on their heads. If what they want to do over the next few weeks is not pass a state budget, it would be best for them to get one of those tiny cartoon umbrellas to guard against another Acme anvil that voters are going to drop on their heads.
Weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Matt Nair on Air.
From articles that I have seen, if you are a bagel purist, you should not toast your bagel. I think nothing's better than a toasted bagel and a schmear.
Folks, can we have a moment of honesty? Do you really like bagels, or do you like the schmear that is transported by them? Get rid of the stigma. If I walk into this room eating cream cheese out of a tub with a spoon.
Why is that wrong?
Matt Nair on Air. Weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pat Kreitlow.
On Tuesday, Hans Breitenmoser on whether the corn will be knee-high by the 4th of July, plus Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9.
When a song stops right in the middle and then comes back on, and because you're worried it's not coming back, then it does, and you're happy. Welcome back. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwab. Great to have you with me on this Monday night, broadcasting live from beautiful downtown Green Bay. Tom from New Berlin. Our question of the night is, who is your favorite college or pro athlete, or college or pro athlete that's worn a Wisconsin uniform? Pro, college, St. Norbert's. Middleton College. Somebody said Dave Craig. Will read that text. That was a good pull. Dave on the stream says, wow, nice tangent. I assume he is talking about that perverted commercial you found, Conrad.
Yeah, it was a good talk.
It was a good talk. Tom from New Berlin says, no curtain or partition, walls boot camp style. I don't know what that is. What were we talking about 23 minutes
ago? That was when we don't have a shower curtain.
Oh, okay. I thought he meant the urinals at Wrigley Field. But either way, that works. Jack from Merrimack says, funny thing, my first thought was Hank Aaron, too. Thank you, Jack. Great choice. Pamela from Wisconsin Rapids, our pal Pamela says, Robin Yount was my favorite. Hard to go wrong with Robin Yount, too. Pro athlete at 19 years old. Keep those texts coming, folks. We'll read them throughout the course of the show. And right now, this is exciting. It's hour two. Kurt Newman, the founder of the band, legendary Wisconsin band, the Bodines. He is the front man, lead singer, guitarist. He will be here at 7:35 to talk about a show they have coming up in Madison in just 2 days at the beautiful new Atwood Music Hall. We'll talk to Kurt at 7:35 p.m. Right now, my pal Nathan Deming. Have I done a show that you haven't been on? I'm just curious.
I wasn't here last week.
That's true. You were. Yeah. Nathan Deming is back in town. It's great to have him in the studio.
Where's Jeff?
Filmmaker Nathan Deming. And he joins us here in the studio. Do we have Jeff? There he is.
Hello.
Hi, Jeff. And Jeffrey Kurz joins us from Milwaukee. Also, a fine Wisconsin
filmmaker.
I feel like
at a disadvantage because I'm not in person.
Yeah, we are really bonding here.
I'm co-hosting tonight.
Jeff is on the periphery, but we'll make you feel welcome, Jeff. It's good to have you, buddy.
It's nice to see you both.
Yeah, likewise. So
and Conrad too.
Conrad, can they see you?
No, they can't.
Let's remedy that. There we go. Now we're all together again. It's like the Brady Bunch. What's happening there?
Isn't Conrad Kiwaskum's favorite son?
That is true.
Self-proclaimed. He's top five. Let's not get crazy here. I mean, there's some people. There's some big hitters come out of Kewaskum. Hey, it's great to have you guys here. And this is a conversation I've been looking forward to having with both of you. I love talking film in Wisconsin. I love talking to filmmakers who make their home here. And what better way to bring us all together on this Monday night than to talk about this really cool process that's going on with Action Wisconsin and you guys working hard to bring film incentives here to Wisconsin. Let's start and jump in right there. Where are things at right now, Jeff, since you're at a disadvantage, since you're on the stream, let's start with you.
Okay. So just in case your audience doesn't know, so Wisconsin is one of 13 states that does not offer production incentives. And it is one of only three states that does not have a designated film office. And the importance of production incentives, that it's the number one factor that production companies consider when they're choosing a location to film in, right? So oftentimes, if a production company wants to come to Wisconsin to film, their first question is, what are your tax incentives? And when we say, oh, we don't have those, the line goes dead, right?
Yeah.
So we've been, Nathan and I and a bunch of other people have been working diligently to bring production incentives back. And so bills have been written, one in the Assembly and one in the Senate. They have strong bipartisan support because really this is not, it's about filmmaking, right? But it's also about creating and retaining jobs. It is about boosting local economies, and it is about promoting tourism in the state. So we have 42 legislators who are co-sponsoring these bills. As wow. I said, it's a big bipartisan group. And Nathan and I have been testifying twice in Madison in front of subcommittees in both the Assembly and the Senate. And both of those subcommittees that we testified in front of, the bills were passed unanimously.
That is great news. You know, it's funny you say this because I'm sitting here. I love that there's bipartisan support at a time when our country is incredibly polarized. And every night I come on the air and I say I'm talking about things that bring us together, movies, TV, comedy, music, like sports. So it's great that this is a bipartisan bill. And I want to say it was the brainchild of a Republican state senator or two of them. Why did this bill? I mean, we all love movies, but typically, oftentimes, the right, Hollywood is like kind of a target of the right. Why are they in favor of the incentives? And why are Democrats? What brought them together on this?
Because they realize that this is, once again, an economic issue. It's an economic growth issue. And it represents an economic, it's a model and a revenue stream that the state does not have right now. So the two authors of the bills, there's Senator Julian Bradley from New Berlin. And before he was a rock star legislator, he was a professional wrestler. So he understands not only the economics of entertainment, but also just how to kind of build strong support among his colleagues for this issue. And then on the Assembly, there was David Armstrong from Rice Lake. And Representative Armstrong is the executive director of the Barron County Economic Development Corporation. So this is somebody who really understands what his constituents want and what would make this state grow economically. And because that's kind of what he does. So they both realized that this was a great economic building block for the state.
Nathan, on the website, it says there's a 30% tax credit that will be issued. Is that in the form of a rebate? What does that mean exactly? Or is it something you can write off? How does that work?
I feel like I got a Jeff question with that one.
Oh, sorry. But listen, I assume you guys are interchangeable.
Let me try, Nathan, and I'll
please defer,
you
though.
You,
yeah,
you know.
Of course.
I believe we're proposing a transferable tax credit, which can be, once it's given to you, can be resold to a corporation of your choice at a later date. I'll personally probably go to Kohl's or Target or something like that.
So wait a minute. Kohl's cash counts as film incentives. Am I understanding that correctly?
Did I explain that a little bit right, Jeff?
I don't know about the Kohl's cash, but more like the 11% rebate at Menards. But,
okay. Yeah. Either one works. That's great. And you guys, please defer to each other, or I'm just trying to keep I feel bad because you're here in person and Jeff's not, but he got two questions. Just trying to even the score. I don't want to play
specifically
favorites.
Nathan, talk about your work and why you feel like this is so important. And here's the thing: is that Nathan is working out of people think that this is what we've discovered with Action Wisconsin is that we built a coalition statewide. This is not a regional issue; right. It is a statewide issue. And we have met people all over the state who want these production incentives. In fact, because of the way this bill is structured, it's a very Wisconsin-centric program. It will encourage Wisconsin investors to invest in Wisconsin filmmaking and also infrastructure like sound stages. And we're already aware of two different individuals who are pushing for production facilities in both Superior in the northern part of the state. I'm going to use my finger to push up in Superior, and then in Kenosha in the southern part of the state. And that's just two. I also am personally aware of 10 movies that are kind of in holding patterns waiting to find out if these bills pass because they want to shoot in Wisconsin. But I don't want to interview Nathan, but I'm very, very curious to hear about kind of his experience in Eau Claire.
My guests are Jeff Kurz and Nathan Deming, two Wisconsin filmmakers who are actively working to bring film incentives to Wisconsin. Let's do that. I want to get to separate projects that you guys are working with, but I know you're doing, we'll get an update on your project too with doing 1 month for the year. I think that's so cool. How long would it take? Let's say, you know, you guys have made it over two hurdles. Let's say this goes through. How long will it take to bring those 10 projects, so to speak, Jeff here and Nathan, or how long will it take to set up a film office where it's running cohesively and we're actually attracting projects?
Well, if it's passed this year, it'll go into effect in January 2026, right, Jeff?
Correct.
Okay. So any production that's planning ahead now could conceivably start planning for getting those incentives once they start. Like, they could start planning production and pre-production for any time after January 2026 and receive those incentives. And I mean, we both have heard of projects that are like, we're not just saying this. There's a lot of people who are interested in shooting in Wisconsin. When we testified before the House Ways and Means Committee, the one thing that everybody had a story about was the phone call that Jeff described at the beginning, which is somebody was like, hey, I want to film in Wisconsin. I want to film in Rhinelander. I want to film somewhere. Tell me about it. And then they find out there's no tax incentives. There's no film office. And then the phone goes dead. So like there's people who want to film here. And like, if we just get like a lot of things can start to run once we get these incentives in place.
How long before, like, let's say things get up and running or it takes a while. Are you worried that, because some states have pulled back their incentives. I know Michigan did it a few years ago. Are you worried that that could happen here? Have you taken the temperature of the general population?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think that through Action Wisconsin, we really have gotten out a large effort for people to contact their legislators. I'm not so concerned about, listen, what I always say about these production incentive programs from state to state is they're like eggs, and everybody likes their eggs cooked a different way. So the way we're cooking our eggs here is it's a very Wisconsin-centric program. Only money paid to Wisconsin residents and only money spent with Wisconsin businesses will count for these tax credits that Nathan was talking about. So there are certain states that have kind of a door wide open policy of, you know, come in here and we will cover all of your expenses. That's not the way this program is designed. And it's designed so that it makes the most sense economically for the state.
That's a great answer. And just a follow up, like, because you only recoup money that's spent in Wisconsin. So you don't want to bring crews in from out of state because that's not valid. So how long will it take before you have crews? Like, let's say you do get a lot of productions come here. Do we have the crews to support that here, or would that happen quickly?
Would you say that's a little bit of the chicken and egg? Like, because we have people here, like, but they need to be allowed to stay here. I mean, we've talked about over and over again this number of, what is it, like 500 film graduates are trained in Wisconsin every year, and then they go and they make money in Chicago. They go and they make money elsewhere. So they don't have a reason to stay, but if we give them a reason to stay, they'll stay here. And there's something happening right now. We've both met people that are moving back right now from LA and New York because we didn't get to the big picture yet, but LA might be not the source of Hollywood anymore.
So, not much going on. And times are changing, probably due in part to COVID and a lot of other stuff. My guests, Jeff Kurz and Nathan Deming. Nathan's in studio. Jeff's on the stream. We're talking about film incentives here in Wisconsin with Action Wisconsin, a great program that looks like it'll pass. We'll talk more about that coming up after this very short break on Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. You got the Civic Media Radio Network. I wanna cry, cry, cry alone. When you're feeling blue, I'm waiting just for you. Someone's living for their love.
Someone...
as Wisconsin as a game of cribbage with good friends. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
At Hazelden Betty Ford, treating mental health isn't just about breaking old patterns. It's about braving new ones. As the leader in alcohol and drug treatment for 75 years, we know caring for addiction, anxiety, depression, and trauma goes hand in hand. We're here for you with new tools when life breaks down. Discover your path to better mental health at HazeldenBettyFord.org/Wisconsin. Sponsored by Hazelden Betty Ford Foundation.
For 75 years, the Muscular Dystrophy Association's voices have thundered through the halls of Congress.
For 75 years, we've willed the impossible into existence.
For 75 years, the MDA community has pushed the science,
shifted the narrative,
and established the field of neuromuscular medicine.
And until that day when this is all a thing of the past,
you couldn't stop us if you tried.
Join us and celebrate 75 years of breakthroughs at MDA75.org.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
The Joint Finance Committee was leaked that they intend to cut $87 million from the UW system budget. And so we put this out on our socials last night. And today, the Joint Finance Committee decided to pull that from the agenda. Because apparently, from what I'm told, Republican legislators got a lot of calls. When the truth is disseminated and people react, results can happen.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station. And on the app, The Maggie Dawn Show.
Madam Mayor Satya Rhodes Conway from the fabulous city of Madison.
A lot of people say, I don't like politics. It's all dirty and angry and blah, blah, blah. It's really about caring about your community, finding a way to, like, bring it back to people talking to each other.
Yeah.
About what is important in our place and how do we take care of each other and use the levers of government to do that. That's really what it's about.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m.
We are the National Park Foundation, and together with you, we're creating a future where every person, every generation, gets their chance at an unforgettable moment. Learn more at nationalparks.org/foundation.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Your local Civic Media radio station is your source for real news and great conversation, plus fun and exciting contests. For a complete list of contest rules, log on wbzh.fm/contest-terms. As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag, this is the Civic Media Radio Network. As Wisconsin is dropping a line in your favorite fishing spot, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Welcome back. This is Nightlight with Peach Wabba. I am Peach Wabba. Great to have you with me on this Monday night as we broadcast statewide here from beautiful downtown Green Bay. And we're talking about something that I find absolutely fascinating with two fascinating guys, and I am a big fan of both of them. Nathan Demming and Jeff Kurz are here. They're both filmmakers and actively trying to pass legislation here in Wisconsin that would enact film incentives and hopefully draw a lot more productions to Wisconsin, because it's funny, you guys. I know you're right. I know there are people that would want to bring their project here. There are people that already shoot here, even though they don't have incentives, just to get, because if you don't have incentives, I guess favors in a way are like incentives. I know when I shot a film here, we got so much help from the community. You kind of have to rely on that, don't you?
Yeah, I think everything made now is made uphill, right? Like, yeah. Wisconsin actually had like two hit independent films in the past year, which is Hundreds of Beavers, which some people know, and Green and Gold. Hundreds of Beavers, Jeff knows a little bit about the production of that, but I know that Green and Gold, that's a movie all about the Packers.
Yeah.
The producers wanted to shoot that in Illinois for the tax incentive. And, like, can you imagine the press tour when they would have gone around and been like, oh, yeah, we filmed, that's Door County, but really it's, like, Aurora.
You can't fake authenticity in an indie film, I don't think. I think and nothing against Illinois or anywhere else, but you have to shoot that here. You guys, is there a minimum spending requirement? Like if someone has a movie and they say, well, I have 25 grand, can they cash in on the incentives or does it have to be $1 million? What are you guys angling for?
The minimum spend is actually $100,000, which is, perfectly reasonable.
Yeah.
Amount of money to make a feature film. And by the way, I have had filmmakers say, but what if I only have $75,000? And what my response to that is that if you go back to your investors and say for another $25,000, we qualify for production incentives. The thing about incentives is that their investors are going to see a return on their investment almost immediately after that all the accounting has been done and the credits are sold.
Great answer. Jeff, you have a background. You were a studio executive at Miramax for years, and you've been in Wisconsin for a while now. For people listening, what goes into picking a location? Like, is it typically up to the producers, or do they have a wish list and the studio has to sign off on it? Or does the studio just say right away, we are going to New Mexico or Atlanta because the incentives are best there? Is that a give and take or even a negotiation for that matter?
Well, it depends on what kind of production you're talking about, right? So for a studio, they're always going to be going where they're going to get the best deal. And if you look at credits for movies, you'll notice that I'm seeing Quebec show up in a lot of credits for movies that I know they didn't shoot there, but they probably did post-production there. They're kind of piecemealing these productions together. So that's kind of the way the studios operate. As far as locations go for an independent film, it's really about how can I make this, so I'm based in Milwaukee, right? And I've got a producing partner in New York and another one in London, and I've worked with the BBC and Film 4 in London, but the last two features that I made were made here. And it's really all about figuring out what the economics are and how am I going to make, I'm going to have a certain amount of money. How am I going to make my movie with that certain amount of money? And I will tell you that I find that it's less expensive to film in Wisconsin, just because of what Nathan was just saying about, and what you were just saying about all the goodwill that comes along with making a movie here.
You also mentioned at the beginning of the interview, Jeff, about what's going on in Eau Claire, and I'll let Nathan speak to that. You're in that area, and you had a mixer recently. Talk about the success and the interest you got.
We were just talking about, I think a cool thing about the nice timing of Action Wisconsin and this effort to, we should have had a film office yesterday, but the next best time is today or whatever, but this has been a really cool opportunity, I think, for filmmakers around the state to find each other and network in a way. I really think regional filmmaking, regional cinema is the future. And it's been so cool to see people connect from around the state. And I just threw on a little mixer a few weeks ago. We had a huge turnout and Jeff spoke at it, and it was cool to feel Jeff connecting with them and, Milwaukee connecting with Eau Claire. And I've seen that around the state the past few months, the amount of enthusiasm there is. You're talking about crew base. We have passionate people here who can easily be trained. Duluth is an amazing example of a town that within the past 5 years went from having a very small crew base to, through their film office, they trained people to do G&E, to do PA work, to learn set etiquette. For a pretty low cost, and now they're bringing in a regular pipeline of Lifetime movies, Hallmark movies, and this fall they're going to have a studio movie coming through. That's all possible if we just put our energy in the right direction, and we have that too. Door County just what was the name of it, Jeff, the one that just shot in
Cherry Pie Christmas.
We have how many Hallmark movies have you seen that are Christmas where you notice that the snow is fake in the background, because it was shot in Santa Clarita, California? We have actual snow here.
Snow myself, but
and by the way, what I want to add to that, and Pete, this kind of goes back to something that you had asked about. You said there are movies being made here in Wisconsin, and that's true, but they are one-off situations. It's not a steady pipeline. And it could be a steady pipeline if we had production incentives. And crews could have steady employment if they went from production to production.
Great point. And you cannot put a price on what it does for tourism. I always used to wonder, why is a film office under tourism? Well, it's such a great way to showcase our state. How do you compete And I know we have to do a break soon, but I'll at least start you guys down this path so you can think of it. Let's say the incentives go through here. We have a beautiful state. In fact, let's get this after the news or after intermission. But think about how do we compete? Minnesota has very aggressive incentives. And if you shoot up in Duluth, you can maximize or you can utilize two of them. You got Illinois. I don't know if Michigan, I think they're coming back. But let's think about that. Like how does Wisconsin take some of those projects away and sell itself compared to the other states? All right. Great discussion. We'll continue it after intermission. Jeff Kurz is here from Milwaukee. Nathan Deming is in studio all the way from Eau Claire, Wisconsin. Beautiful places, both of them, in our lovely state where we should have film incentives. We'll continue the discussion after the news. Kurt Newman of the Bodines is here at 7:35. A great night here at Nightlight, and great to have you with me. Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm coming home, baby. You're
the top. This is the Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Stephanie Officer. The Trump administration announcing it has revoked the U.S. visas for the British band Bob Villain. Officials saying it's a response to the rappers chanting death, death to the Israeli Defense Forces at the Glastonbury Music Festival in the U.K. this past weekend. State Department Press Secretary Tammy Bruce.
It really is about our standards, about who we let in the country, that we're not telling people what they can sing about or what they can say. It's not involved here at all. They obviously felt free to say what they were saying and chanting at Glastonbury. And they can do that. And we can do what we do.
An endangered wild Asian horse foal is living its best life thanks to an unlikely savior. Marat the horse fell critically ill soon after its birth at the Minnesota Zoo nearly 2 months ago. Intensive care saved his life, but his mother rejected him when he returned. His future looked grim until Alice, a domestic pony of the Americas who'd recently lost her newborn, accepted him as her own. This is ABC News.